If you build it, they will come. Welcome to the White Book Podcast, the original A Game of Thrones LCG podcast. Founded in 2010 as Two Chimps and a Chump, we thought it best to rename and rebrand ourselves freshly just in time for the game to keep the same in the second edition. Tune in each week for your dose of strategy, discussion, jokes, and good old geek culture. A huge thank you goes out to GRRM for his amazing novels, FFG for this fantastic game, Card Game DB for getting us a start, and you, our loyal listeners, for sticking through thick and thin. Check us out on our website, Facebook, or Twitter, or email us at contact@whitebookpodcast.com and rate us on iTunes. This CC licensed music is Town Function by Spinners.
That's from Field of Dreams, which is appropriate because we're in Iowa.
I really thought someone would jump on that quicker and call me on it, but nothing.
Well, and we all came. Build it.
Exactly. We came to the episode to build something. Well done. Actually, I may even have to introduce one of these people. He hasn't been on the show in a while now. Things haven't lined up for that, so... Dear listeners, you just heard Mr. Tommy Bliss. Welcome back to the show.
Yeah, it's been a while. Was in a little snippet for 300, but other than that, being on a real episode, it's cool to be back.
Yeah. Also, I realized it was kind of weird to call you Mr. Tommy. I feel like I really ought to go with Thomas or Tom if I'm going to precede it with Mr. It just sounds weird together.
Yeah. Usually if I'm going with the Mr. prefix, I'm going Thomas, but hey, you know what? This is fun time.
Yeah, Glazer's not here to constantly talk over you, so that'll help.
Can't miss.
Man, how are the listeners going to deal with that?
I don't know. Some of the best White Book episodes were when it was Will, Tommy, and myself, and Glazer, so I don't know. I don't know what shade you're throwing there, Kyle.
So you're not biased at all.
Those were the Team Left days.
Those were the Team Left days.
Roy just trying to break up fights.
Yeah, that's usually how it goes.
Oh, well, maybe we will see how cordial we are this episode. I mean, it's three Midwesterners and Roy Rogers, so I think we're going to be fighting over how cordial we can be.
Tommy packs a fight. He's from Chicago.
Yeah.
That is the Midwest.
It's the Midwest, but it's a special kind of Midwest. It's the Al Capone Midwest. It's not the, you know, Aushocks, Gary Cooper Midwest.
I try to keep that under wraps.
Wow.
That is on the lowdown.
Hey, I mean, I'm almost from Joplin, and that's pretty much the Bonnie and Clyde Midwest. So
I have never said Aushucks, not in irony.
I don't believe you, Kyle. Shucks,
you're really missing out. Oh, wow. We are just really forcing this, aren't we? Whew.
I don't know. Well, we're banterific.
Banterific. That actually would be a really great name for a podcast. I would listen to that.
Trademark.
Trademark hashtag banterific.
Jumping on that right away.
Well,
it has an audience of one, which is higher than so many other podcasts.
So many other podcasts. Hey, there's new podcasts. You remember ages ago when folks complained that there were just too many Thrones podcasts and they were just popping up out of the woodwork, and then, you know, 60% of them died?
60? That's way too generous. Like 80% of them, including one long-lasting one, Will.
You're right. 80%.
I think they're all dead, and we have one new one, correct?
Well, we have two new ones.
If you don't count Will's, the Will Lentz 20 minutes, we have one new one. That's the there's the worst.
Will's solo album does not count as a podcast.
It's not solo. I mean,
calm down, Beyonce. Just get back in line.
I've got another interview lined up for next week.
Hopefully it's not
recorded.
I don't know if any of you have ever talked to Seth before, but Seth is the kind of person when you talk to him, it takes him like 15 minutes to work up to his point. And so it felt like
probably shouldn't tell you then that this is another one with Seth, huh? Whoops.
That episode with Seth, he got to his point in the last 2 minutes, and I was like, oh God, now the episode's over. Sorry.
Do you think Will will announce that he's canceling the White Book to do his own work on this show or on his short show?
Probably his short show.
Yeah.
The White Book.
Those are clicks that he can't afford to give up.
Could also just be via Twitter.
Ooh, the classiest way to break
cold-blooded.
Ooh, in 140 characters or less.
I don't know, man. If Will cancels the White Book, I guess I'm going to have to slide into the DMs of The Wars That Come. Or Wars To Come, is that what the new one's called?
The War Is To Come, I think, war, right?
Whatever it is.
I don't know, see, Wars Plural or War Is. Now
bro, you'd be like the George Harrison. You'd go solo, too. It'd be fine.
You hear that?
I have George no plans Harrison to cancel the White Book anytime soon. So you're safe. Right,
there we go.
You're safe.
Aww.
We have to maintain our record as the longest lived podcast. So
reigning and defending.
You gotta buffer that lead.
Pretty soon, Will will just get the White Book will be the longest running Game of Thrones podcast. Just forget about the 2C1C days. Like it's getting to that point.
Yeah. it actually is. We're what, 100 some odd episodes in, just under the White Book moniker?
Wow.
Well, speaking of being a long-running show, I've had some new players reaching out to me over the past couple weeks, and they've been a little lost or confused. They're like, "Well, you know, I kind of want to listen to the show, but I'm not really sure where to start." And, you know, of course, I'm pointing them to 222 and 295, which are fairly, you know, standalone new player oriented episodes. But aside from that, there's not a great guideline on where to point people to. You know, most episodes do kind of stand on their own. But in chatting with those folks, it sounds like a deck building episode would be something they feel they could dive into fairly quickly. Help them get up to speed and not necessarily have to know everything beforehand as long as we talk things through. So fair warning to listeners, though, we may wind up reading a few card names, but probably not reading out their whole text all the time. So, you know, be listening for card names. We'll try to mention the actual card name if we... if it's a card that's normally has a nickname, we'll try to mention both, but we're probably not reading things out. So it would behoove you to have cardgamedb.com or thronesdb.com open while you're kind of going. And of course, we'll post a link to the deck list as well so you can follow along. So there we go. How's that for preface?
Good job.
Real good.
Yeah. Okay, so we are going to build a deck with the four of us. We did a brief little bit of chatting beforehand, and I think we came to a surprisingly quick consensus on what we were going to build this time.
Fastest ever.
Yeah, I think so. And it was your idea there, Tommy. So what are we building this week?
Martell Reigns of Castamere.
Okay. What draws you to that idea right now?
I feel like Reigns is amazing because it gives you the extra access to the control plots that you're looking for, and a little surprise factor that's not included in your deck. Everybody can agree to that. And on top of it, you've now got the new Viper that adds some close ability. And I've always loved building out of a base house of Martell because you get the Gas and Gray access. So that's enough for me.
I think the Red Viper in particular sort of makes Martell Reigns much more attractive than it was before, because it gives a consistent, solid character who has tools to push through a range trigger when you really need it. Like the Core Viper is a very strong, you know, what is he? He's like 6? No, he's 7, right? Core strength. But he has no way of sort of preventing people from blocking him, while the new Viper has that, you know, ability that anyone with one or less icons, you know, any monocons, can not defend. And Martell has a lot of tools. Yeah, Martell has a lot of tools to guarantee that.
Right,
so I think Martell Reigns,
yeah,
which I think was almost there before the new Viper, because Martell just has a lot of tools, as Alex's win really shows, and the success I've also had playing at a much smaller scale with Martell recently. It's almost there, Martell Reigns was almost there, but other Martell decks were better. But now with this new Red Viper, I think it's there.
Well, and not just the new Red Viper. I mean, if we dial it back just a teensy bit further in card releases, they got their new income location. The Dornish Fiefdom, right?
Yeah,
hopefully I'm remembering the name right. And they got the Secret Schemes draw event, which I still am a little flabbergasted about. And I think that it works well with...
because Reigns increases the number of
Reigns
cards
setup
to draw?
Of course, your Reigns plots.
You flip into a Reigns challenge?
Yes. I was going to say, of course, the old Reigns plots are not going to stay, you know, in your use pile, right? They go away whenever you reveal your new plot. But it does at least... Right, that's what I was going to say. It does at least force your regular plot into the used pile one turn faster. So... You can eke out a little bit of extra mileage there. So I like that.
Yeah.
Kyle, any thoughts, or should we jump into things?
So, gentlemen, this is the ultimate deck building question. Where do we start? Well, we've already did it. All right, so Tommy wants to start.
House card in advance.
Kyle, you said the spine. What do you mean by the spine?
No way. Like the core 20 cards that make up like the nexus / auto include of your deck. So we talk about the Red Viper, him, some nucleus econ, probably not all your econ cards, but at least 6 econ cards. Like the reducer guy, just some things that you know for certain you are going to include in this deck because they are capstones of Martell.
All right. So why don't we slide in and say we want 3 Red Viper to start? Of course, the new one.
Yep. If he's sexy, he's sexy and new, and we're trying to make him work.
Are there any other? I guess Arion is this an Arion Martell deck? That's the other major question. All right, is she 2 or 3?
Oh yeah. With the Viper? Oh, yeah.
Start with 3?
For sure. I say start with 3.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Start with 3.
Gray Halts are good.
What other... I'm in the character tab right now. So what other core characters do we see at this deck? So we want... Kyle said the Reducer Chuds, which was the Desert Scavenger from Martell, right? So we want 3 of those. All right. So any other core characters that that are just auto-includes? The Traders, right? The draw?
Probably Traders. Yeah, Green Blood Trader. Yeah, 3 of it for sure. I'm also sorely tempted to say that Bastard Daughter is always kind of a go-to for me.
I was just going to say that too. I agree.
2 or 3?
Yeah, just solid value. Two?
Probably at least two for now. Probably up okay. to three, but
you can say without a doubt two are going to make the stack. We can't do without. Nim? Do we want Nymeria? Nymeria Sand?
Yeah. I think if we're playing the new Red Viper, we have to play Nymeria to go with it. Her ability to remove icons is just going to be...
All right, so that's all. I mean, picking Nymeria, is she a 1, 2, or 3? I mean, she used to be an automatic 3 in all Martell decks, but Martell decks, I think, have been recently moving around sort of the number of Nims in a Valor meta. So how many Nymerias do we want?
Two?
It's always safe
two?
Bets.
Okay.
I'm going to go with...
Let's see. Any other auto include here?
Probably one Ario Hotah. It sounded like we were pretty dedicated to Ario.
Then he's good with reins to push out defending intrigue characters.
It seems silly not to have him. Mm-hmm.
What else? Anything else, gentlemen? That just sort of auto includes because we can obviously come back to the character base.
Yeah,
I think you can probably safely say you're going to include a single little finger.
I don't know. I mean, I think he'll be in sort of the great debate.
I don't know.
Part of this, I think. Yeah. Begging Brother, another new card, though, that... a debate worthy one? Okay.
I think that's another debate.
So I'll just... One. Oh, go ahead, Cal.
I was going to say, I was like, that seems solid. I mean, you don't want to build the deck right now.
Yeah, we have about 15-ish characters to play with right now, I'd say. All right, so we'll move into attachments, and I think just based on everything we said, three attainted, which is the, for listeners who don't know off the top of their head, attainted is the non-terminal negative attachment that takes away intrigue icons from your opponent's characters. Just three automatically, right? All right.
Yep. Yeah.
That'll.
Because I'm sure Tyene's been a.
Is there anything else in the Martell attachment world? That is an auto include.
There's a couple other.
So we'll go to location. So three Martell reducers, right? Tommy, make a case for Ghast and Gray. How many and should it be?
Yep.
Yeah, that's the Blood Orange Grove for this one.
Right, okay.
It should absolutely be three. I mean, I'll fight that battle.
Yeah, I mean, Cannot Be Saved is so huge with all of the renown and saves running around right now. That ability to get something out of the way and get a huge economic advantage. I think that's
Greg
three up
Atkinson's
for sure.
Greg card, a.k.a. Flea Bottom.
I hate to say it, but I think for this deck, that's probably another debatable one, because I think it needs a certain other subset of cards to go with it.
I don't know if it does, but... Yeah.
I think we kind of have to see the rest of the character base unfold, but I think just the traitor...
If you're pulling
that's true,
out,
that's
their
true. But there's also the option of running some low reserve plots that are good, like Retaliation.
Well,
like running that, dropping that early, first or second turn to put real pressure on, and then having to chuck your own characters for reserve to seed your discard pile to give you a lot of flexibility with Flea Bottom, I think is a really valid strategy for Martell. And marched, of course, which I'm assuming probably will be.
And of course, March to the Wall. Ahead of us.
Dornish Fiefdoms, which is the new 2 gold limited location, we should do 3 of. But just for listeners, because I know all of us know this, this card, though, will slightly dictate our core plots, because you need to be able to consistently go second for it to have real value.
Right. Though, thankfully, if we're looking at least thinking right now about the potential of stuff like Retaliation and March to the Wall later on, those are, you know, 8 initiative plots, which probably
I put in 3 Rose Roads without even really turn order. Discussing.
I was gonna say we do need to chat about the neutral ones, the neutral income locations. That is, whether we want Rose Roads or King's Roads or both or some other combination. Great Hall, I don't know. I feel like it's going to be less effective here.
Any other locations that stand out to people? For me, I have questions about the Boneway. Is this going to be a Boneway deck? Or is it going to be a more aggressive Martell deck that is going to push through challenges?
Just to make sure that I am on board, though, you kind of mentioned Rose Road in passing. Did everyone everyone on board with three Rose Roads?
Yeah.
Is there a single Joust deck that
I just want to make sure I have the correct deck list where we are? Okay. Maybe some Tyrell builds that are heavy on the Arbor and Great Halls instead.
Yeah.
I don't know. That's not worth getting into. I just wanted to make sure I had the right.
Yeah, I'm at 32 cards right now. Well,
on the deck.
Okay. Great Hall. I don't remember if it was Kyle or Tommy had mentioned this when we were talking about character base. Is this a Great Hall deck?
I think so. Between Tyene and the Viper, and you have a lot of uniques.
We don't have Tyene in the deck yet. Right now, the only thing that it reduces by 2 in the deck at the moment is the Red Viper. It can reduce Nymeria, Hota, Arion, but only by 1.
The Great Hall is amazing. Maybe. When you have a bunch of, if you're Stark or Lannister with a bunch of 6 and higher cost characters, but it can also be good in a deck like a Night's Watch deck that may not have a huge number, like a Jon Snow deck that doesn't have a huge number of 6 or 7 cost characters, but has a lot of unique characters. So the question is, are we, you know, we'll top out at the Viper and Tyene, but will we be running enough unique characters that it will make up for it, even if we aren't always reducing 6 costas?
We should probably leave this one up to debate just to see the rest of the base develop.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think we know enough about the character base.
Because, it'll be those last, like, 2 econ card slots, and you're going to have
anything
to call
else
about
the locations, then.
What goes there.
I'm a little tempted for a single.
But that,
Shadow
that competes with our range trigger.
Yeah.
It does. I think there's instances where getting that off is more valuable than the reins.
Just run that plot. Run
I do think that might be straight up better than Shadow Black in a reins deck.
Yeah, not a terrible idea.
You know,
I mean, let's say you hit that moment. You're not going to hit that moment more than once a game.
Yeah.
So I'd rather have a card slot and lose a scheme to it than... But I agree, the event search... Because I was looking through schemes. That was the first thing I was flipping through, and that one caught my eye because it would be real nasty in this deck.
Yeah.
All right.
I think I agree with you, though, going the plot route.
Sunspear? This is a go second deck prop because it's running Blood Orange Grove. So is Sunspear... not Blood Orange Grove. Sorry, it's Dorne's Thief, though. We want to run Sunspear here?
Yeah.
That's kind of an auto-include.
Hmm.
I've always liked it as a one-of. Because, I mean, it can be a real deterrent.
All right. That's why don't we put in one for now, and we can cut it later. All right. But I think that might be it for locations. Right? All right. And then we'll move into events, which I think is where we'll really kind of start really building the deck. Yep. But also, I think we'll have the most debate. Probably this is the tightest spot for Martell, I think, is... Yeah.
They have so many good options.
Yeah.
So many good ones. And before we get too deeply into the events, I do want to issue one sort of retraction here to the listeners and my co-hosts, because I was looking at it again a moment ago. Secret Schemes, the draw event, does require a faction meal. So, unfortunately...
That's true. You're right. Well, I forgot about that.
Being able to I forgot that extra card after you triggered Reigns.
Restriction that they have on it.
Yep.
All right.
Agreed.
Aww.
Now, we may still want the event, but at first I was thinking it was pretty much an auto-include. That may make it more questionable since they're both fighting over that faction deal. I know.
So here in the events, I think we had come to an ideological crossroads. And at different times in my career, I have been on either side of this argument. But I think Martell especially makes the best case for the two. Do you go, you want three ofs and two ofs, mainly three ofs, of what you deem are the most efficient events? Or do you run a lot of singletons of a bunch of events to keep your opponent on his toes?
I am definitely in the efficiency. Particularly, I think, with Martell, because Martell has some of the most swingy, powerful events. Red Vengeance / Vengeance for Elia, Secret Schemes. We're probably going to be running Tears here. Like, what's the zero cost Viper's Eyes? Like, these are powerful, powerful events that you want to see in every game, and you want to own your opponent with multiple times in a game. So I would go for 2 to 3 of most of our key events.
Yeah, I tend to agree with Roy here. I think that there are too many good choices to just splash around and say, here's one of this, one of this. Most of the powerhouse events.
Yeah, I want to see at least 2 Vengeances per game.
I'm mostly, normally, am very much on that kind of efficiency side of the fence. Though I would at least say if we did ever explore the other option, say the surprise factor, this would kind of be the sort of deck to consider that out of. If we're running the event search plot, which I've already forgotten the name of, Wheels Within Wheels, there we go, and possibly considering Street of Sisters, because I do at least like the thought that when you're digging that far, you are hopefully grabbing whatever event is scariest at that point, and you just always have this stable of stuff that as Kyle said, keeps your opponent guessing or on their toes. Like, oh man, you know, he got to search his deck. Martell's got this deep pool, you know, what did he grab this time? And when you've got the breadth, then you can potentially
really think, Kyle?
Surprise them with that.
I'm looking through their events and seeing what I'd want to splash in. And you don't have to do a lot of it. I'm saying like 2 of your event slots. You stick in like a 1x of like Unbent, Unbroken, and like Confinement. Like just weird things.
If we did slip in a 1x of something for this deck, I would maybe... put to the sword with the thought that we may occasionally have a surprise blowout.
Yeah, well, I think by 5. In that deck in this deck
removal shenanigans
is 100% in a win more card though. Like that's a that's never a card in with this deck I ever want a top deck when I'm
behind. I could see that.
Like ever. Now that I'm much more I'm more willing to meet you halfway there, Kyle. Like I think this deck is going to be winning power challenges by five or more. Obviously, it's the whole fucking point of the agenda. Intrigue, excuse me. Yeah, and claiming the power. So it will be nice.
It's intrigue. It's intrigue.
Well, why don't we do we all agree at least three vengeances for Elia? I mean, like that just it's bonkers.
Yes.
So tears, best kill spell in the game. How many?
Virtually no downs.
Or none. Yeah, I read it somewhere too. Heard it.
I heard that somewhere.
Yeah.
Two?
I mean, I still think it's worth it. I feel like lately it has been less useful for me than it used to be because everybody and their grandma is playing...
yeah, but we're running a Tainted, right?
And, which means and Nim. There's a lot of intrigue icons around.
So that gives us additional flexibility. Good. And the great thing about the new plot is the ability to, the scheme plot, Wheels Within Wheels, to flip it and then search up your tiers and have an on-demand tiers for that turn where you see the... You don't have to wait to draw a tiers. You can sort of make the situation happen where tiers will be good for you. So do we want to say two?
This is dirty and true.
Three?
Yep.
Two.
I'm very much game. Two sounds like a safe spot, especially if we're looking at coming back around.
All right. Anybody see anything else you like?
Let's start with two and C. We can always add another one. To Kyle's point about splashing in a single unexpected... Even more than Doran's game, I could also see if we're going to run...
Scorpion Sting, I'm actually going to read this card. I always forget what it does. So Scorpion Sting is a non-loyal one-cost Martell event, which is reaction. After you lose a challenge, choose up to X Martell characters. Each of those characters gains renown until the end of the phase. X is the number of plot cards in your use pile. I have been owned by this card a couple of times playing against a Martell player. Because like, you never see it coming. Because it's bad.
Right.
Like the Spanish Inquisition.
Because it's bad.
It is. It is definitely bad. And the other thing that I like about it, outside of it being bad and unexpected, is that, like Will was saying before, you're going to be forcing extra cards into that used pile.
Yeah, yes. It does actually work with Scorpion Sting, since it doesn't need the faction.
Oh, no, you definitely can.
You can close a game with a board of chuds just by getting this off.
Though, the timing for this, if you're going to get the extra, like you need to have won the intrigue by five.
Yeah, you have to have it in your hand. So you would need. So you would be revealing your nonsense.
Then lose a challenge because this is a reaction.
And then they would be very, very worried about what they do. You know. yeah.
So the scenario
you can't just not win challenges. I mean, that's not an option for them.
The scenario I kind of perceive is where you would win the intrigue trigger, then get the event, and then. Throw a chud challenge that you know they're going to have to eat some claim on, like probably your power challenge, that they're not going to want to let you have power because you're in a position where you're closing the game. And then on the military challenge that would subsequently follow, you'd be able to trigger renowns on, you know, your bastard daughters and your other chuds that you have on the board. That's kind of the scenario I perceived. Now, granted, when you're throwing just a singleton in there, it's more a threat of activation than anything else.
Yeah, I mean, like, I'm not opposed.
It's the only scenario that I've ever thought
putting
about
putting one of
ever,
in,
so.
In there. I guess. Yeah, because I mean, we haven't even mentioned the newest card that event.
There's more cards that I would rather have than that.
Yeah. Ryan Jones?
That's what I was going to say.
So, Ryan Jones. We want Ryan, right? I mean, we all want Ryan, but we want...
The one I've been staring at, Ryan?
So, Ryan Jones will have his duet at what number? 2 or 3?
The Iron Bank will have its due, is the card.
I want at least 2.
I'm leaning toward 2 because
the ability to protect your Viper really from getting Valored away.
So
give yourself some gold flexibility early in the game or return Green Blood Traders to your hand to play the next turn. Or Tears or Tears End. Something else.
And get 2 gold to afford that Vengeance for Elia.
But speaking of bad events that actually might be interesting as a one of, the Prince's Plan. I don't know if you guys have actually seen this card in action, but actually at Gen Con, one of the top 16 decks, the Martell Crossing deck that the South Jersey guys built, was using Prince's Plan pretty effectively. The ability to sort of gain a challenge icon, obviously in a crossing deck for Martell, which has an awkward icon spread sometimes, is really powerful. And the ability to fetch it on demand with the scheme could be good. And the fact that you don't even have to put it in your hand, you can find it and a Tears, chuck Prince's Plan into your discard pile, and then get it back for 1 gold whenever you lose a challenge. To pick up power icons and occasionally to pick up military icons. Like when they needed it.
Were
like
they usually push through using a, to push through icons?
A challenge that they needed. It was quite a nightmare, actually. Particularly because it got a little predictable once you see it the first time. But that one time when you're like, oh, right, that's a card. And the additional. Yes. It is
expensive, true. Though.
I do I mean, think, though, to cost your card, you're always losing challenges, right, in most games. It's not one of those ones that it's kind of hard to get back. You can kind of get it back whenever you want to, if you have that 1 gold. You know, it's not like I'm trying to think of like the Barra event or the Stark event that sometimes can be a little awkward to get back into your hand. Prince's Plan, you are gonna lose at least 1 challenge most of the time per challenges phase. So it's just an option. I'm not pushing it on us. No, we haven't even brought that up really in a practical way. So Viper's Eyes.
Have we worked his Viper's Eyes in yet?
We have not.
Oh, yeah. And in some ways better than what's the event cancel?
Hand's Judgment. Cannot be understated.
Or even a Treachery in some cases, because you can just chuck. You not only get to see their hand, you then get to chuck their best card or the card that owns you in that situation, the Varus. Things like that. Yep. And so then they can't cancel our more important event.
Or they blow their cancel on canceling the Viper Eyes, so.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
3? All right, that puts us at 10 events.
I mean, do we look at 3 of his Viper's Eyes, then?
Yeah.
10 total events.
Personally not opposed to that at all.
It's free. It's always good.
I think that leaves maybe
10 single events or 10 total cards.
10 total.
Yeah, that's usually in Martell. I think about 12 is about right.
I think that's a good...
Because they have such good events.
I was expecting to have 12.
Okay.
I think maybe we sit on those 2 event spots and kind of roll back around to some of the other card types, maybe explore some of our schemes, and just kind of know that, hey, you know, once we get some more of the
characters, kind of
framing in place, or I suppose get the walls up around this framing, then we can come hang the last couple pictures.
That was a lot of fiery imagery. Take a little look at where our non-setup cards go, because I mean,
all right,
we only
so do you want to go back
3 attachments in so far, and we know we're going to have more than that.
I think it's likely, yeah.
All right, gentlemen. Does that mean we want to move back to characters, or do we want to move on to plots?
I think characters, because I feel, especially with where the game is right now, we need to figure out what characters we want to utilize, because that's going to dictate, you know, how many econ plots we want, what econ plots we want, what plots will help tilt the rounds in our favor, and it's hard to do that without knowing your character base, I feel.
So, when I usually group deck build, at this point I think it might just be worth it for me to just list off the characters that aren't in our decks, and we can decide whether or not we want any of them, or some, or three. Does that sound good?
Sure.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. Begging Brother.
Of course that would be the first one.
Of course yeah. It is. So that's, but I mean, that's an important one. Like, I think I like Begging Brother and Martell a lot. I think Martell likes this cancel, and I think that the Dornish Thetums, not the Blood Orange Grove, as I said earlier, is really helps you fuel these guys. But of course, they aren't as good in a Martell deck that's not running Greg's card. So I don't know.
Well, and let's just talk about what the triggered character abilities are that we're terrified about. I mean, of course, Melisandre always sucks. What else?
Varys.
Varys, yeah.
Sure.
Miri. Jon Snow.
Or
Tyrion.
Or Rob, for that matter.
Or Rob, yeah. What else? Mountains. Mountains are super annoying.
Always. But he's a singleton that's never going to do a challenge, so.
Well, it's true. Well, we're not running any imprisoned yet. So, what else?
Possibly a Randall stand.
Oh, Randall stands. Yes, 100%.
Either version of Margaery, either the Surge or sure. The Surge.
Both of them.
Victarion saves.
Ooh yeah.
Going through this,
Maester Aemon
is probably Asha.
Asha. Yep.
Going through this already has been enough for me to say that I want to maybe run two.
Yeah, I think two is pretty reasonable. Aaron's going to I already hear Aaron Glazer screaming in my head three, but I think two is...
What do you think, Kyle?
Let's do two, because Glazer wants three.
There's a softball for you.
All right. Then the next one is Black Walder. I don't think so, right? Crow Killers?
I do like it, but not so... Well, I was about to say not so much for this deck, but you were kicking around earlier the possibility about running some of these lower reserve plots to chuck things if we do wind up going the Flea Bottom route. In that case, Crow Killers tempts me.
I'd want to see the plots and also see what our icon spread looks like before committing to these guys, but I think they're a possibility.
Okay. We'll come back to them. Dala, which I think is just a no.
Not here.
Although I do love Martell Wildlings. Don't get me wrong. Devout Freerider, which is probably also a no.
Yeah.
Not the right icons.
Doran Martell.
We don't really have a lot in the way of lords and ladies, but he does have insight and the icon we want.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking, Tommy.
Right, we'll put a one in right now and see. Dornish Paramour. I don't think so.
Too expensive.
Yeah.
Too expensive for a monocon. And we don't want to be bringing people into intrigue challenges.
Exactly.
Edric?
No.
I think he's a one of.
Yeah, he'd be a one for me as well.
Okay.
Elia? Oh, Elia.
Definitely.
How many, though?
I'm tempted to just go with one. She's good, but she's not a high priority for me to keep on the table.
And you're not going to close call her because you're afraid of running into a dead one. I mean,
yeah.
Yeah. Illyria Sand, excuse me.
No, I think I pass on Alaria.
Frey Bastard.
Yeah, I pass there too.
Frey Lordling.
Ditto.
No.
Harmon Uller.
Might be a one, depending.
Yeah,
I don't know.
That renown.
I do like that renown, but 6-4 when we have the Viper.
The ambush bastard daughter is always real good.
Oh,
and we do have Elia and Nymeria as well. If we did go with Harmon Uller, I would probably want the bastard daughter to go up to 3.
So wait, are we saying one Harmon then?
I don't know. I was just saying if we did. I don't know that I'm super sold on him, but
I think he's
pretty much have to commit to Great Halls at that point.
I agree there, and I think we have also have to have the contingent of the third bastard daughter to make it worthwhile. I agree with Will.
Yeah. I think they're a package deal.
So is that a package that we want to buy, or is that not one we want to buy?
I don't know. With no saves of any kind, I don't know if I feel like packing expensive heavy hitters is the right call.
As long as they're singletons, though, I'm not sure that I care that much. It feels almost like a little 1.0 mentality.
Yeah.
I don't know that we'll have a hard time affording a 6-coster and a chut every turn, because we don't know what our plots are yet.
All right. How about we bracket Harmon and we come back to him then?
Sure. Yeah, sounds good.
Hedge Knight? I think that's a no. High Septon, I also think is a no.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Now, this is a specific question for Kyle. What's our hot pie game here, Kyle?
I want to say at least a 4 of. Maybe a 5.
Ooh, the hottest of
4 or 5. Oof, that's Baker's hot dozen. Pie.
That's your econ engine by itself.
House Dane... Knight. I actually think this guy's 3 of in this deck because we love the intrigue icon and the price point.
Yeah, but I mean, they're just cheap, efficient dudes. And if we're running, if we know odds are good, we're going to run Marched. Having a higher chud count helps you flip into ideals where you can leverage that.
How many characters are we at right now?
I have 25. So we got room for stuff.
Same here. Yeah.
I just don't know if I can go 3 on that guy and still only be at 2 bastard daughters.
Well, then put 2 of them in. Look, all right. The great compromise.
2? Okay.
Connecticut would be proud. All right, so... House Maester.
I mean, similar kind of point as the Dane Knight, but reducers don't work on him.
I don't think so. I'd rather just run a House Day Knight. Although, what is our power? No, our power accounts are pretty good, actually. So.
Yeah, it's actually our military that's the last. So.
Okay, so are we saying no to learn in here? Okay. Yakin.
Yeah. I actually feel like he's probably a one of, but that's another one that would point us toward looking at including Great Hall.
I mean,
Halls.
He guarantees we're playing Great Hall, right? Like,
yeah.
I was kind of iffy about him pre-Gen Con, but him into Power Behind the Throne does a lot of work.
All right. One it is, right, Kyle? Does that sound right? What, one?
Yeah, it's got to be
right,
a solo.
So does that mean at this point I should just go in and add the Great Halls?
Yeah.
Okay. I think so. Are we doing
2 or 3
balls?
I say 2.
So that means we're running 3. Yeah. So it's 3, 9, 11 economy locations over 12.
Yeah, I think I would rather have the extra Great Hall and just kind of keep that in mind as we round out the character slots
focus
here.
On unique guys.
Maybe kind of favor unique.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So, yeah, I can. Knights of the Sun.
Hmm.
Okay, you guys seem not very excited.
No, not really. Sorry, I was trying to get back to him in the list after I had flipped over to look.
Sorry, Will.
Yeah, I think I passed on him.
Littlefinger, Tommy's guy. What do you think of your boy Littlefinger, Tommy?
I still think he's probably a one-off. I mean, I don't see what's bad.
I always end up with him sitting in my hand. I don't know why. Maybe that's
well, you're not a bad player, Kyle, but one of the things with Littlefinger, I used to think he was a bad card until I just started just setting him up if I had him in my setup hand. Like, I mean, obviously, if I had a better setup that didn't have Littlefinger, I would do that. But, like, just Littlefinger, Chud, economy location, actually ended up, like, I started winning more games with Littlefinger in my deck because he has the flexibility of being good on setup with that extra income. And then if you see him later in the game, he refills your hand and gives you board presence.
Yeah, I didn't start playing him regularly until recently, and I've really started liking him for the same reasons that you're saying. Right?
But I was a little too focused on the long game value versus the short game one income value of him. Yeah.
Right. And I also think that we don't have a lot of guys that have high strength and power icons.
Yeah, we could stand... Hmm. All right. I think we
one little finger it is. Master Galiote.
I'm in favor of him. He helps open up that intrigue challenge a little bit more for us, either for our agenda or tiers, or I don't know, heck, just to make it easier to win a challenge with Jacken and kill somebody.
Yeah, I mean, you just chump block with them and set up your going second offensive play with the Viper, like you said, or Jacken. He sets up your... He takes away an unopposed power, and he emphasizes your two best characters.
Yeah, he dictates tempo.
That's what you want out of your Chud supports. If they can make your heavy hitters do better, why not?
And Great Hall reduces him.
Absolutely. Great Hall.
Alrighty, then the next one is my least favorite Martell card because of Aaron Glazer, Maester of Starfall. When he forced us to have this card in our Gen Con deck last year, 2016. Best, he's like, it shuts down Tywin, it shuts down Tywin. Anyway, Maester of Starfall. No, okay.
No.
Maester.
No.
Followed by
Nomance.
Followed by no.
One Marcel, Mycela, right?
No. Means.
All I right, think so. We're back in Chud City here with Northern Refugee. I don't think we're running the Winter Plus. Let's put that. Obara, I'm gonna say no.
Yeah, she has her uses, but I think maybe we still have room for something with more punch.
Yeah, if we end up needing
Orphan of the Green Blood. Again, this is a card that Alex Black showed is broken. So what do we think? Are we an Orphan Shenanigan deck, or are we not an Orphan Shenanigan deck?
I think if we become an Orphan Shenanigan deck, that definitely is going to inform our plot choices. It almost certainly does send us back over to grab Flea Bottom.
Yeah.
And it would also, I think, send us through our character count here to kind of make sure of what specific tricks we have with it. I mean, the just... straightforward ones that are going to be re-triggering abilities. We've got Hota and the Green Blood Trader. Is there anything else? Potentially, I guess, resetting.
Yeah, and getting negative attachments off characters like Nymeria or Arion. But we have Ryan's card for that. So
yeah, that's
I think
also a good point.
I don't know. I don't think our deck is... I don't think...
Right.
Orphan of the Green Blood is synergizes well with the deck as we built it so far, but I mean, I could be wrong.
No, that's what I'm thinking, Roy, from looking at, you know, I mean, there's some generic utility, but I don't think we've gone hard enough on
all right
the sort of stuff that
puts
well,
us yeah. to Palace Spearmen.
Actually, a little tempting to me if we're already looking at going second. He's a lot of times going to be a 4-for-4 tricon for us.
Mm-hmm. So
could
two?
Stand a little more military beef. Maybe.
All right. So two.
Yeah, I think I can get behind that.
Two power spearmen. All right. I'm going to channel again our co-host Aaron Glazer here. Pyromancers. What are our answers to our opponent's locations? What's our answer to the wall? What's our answer to other Gaston decks? What's our answer to the Red Keep and other powerful locations that could screw up our game?
Hoping for the best.
Oh yeah, chamber and chair. What is our chamber answer to chamber and chair?
Right now, not a lot. Try and pull something with his viper's yep. eyes before they get it into play.
What cards do we even have? In
Pyromancers
the card pool
in Mono Martell. Pyromancers, Nightmares. Scaling the wall. Put to the torch.
I'm always a big fan of Nightmares.
Put to the torch.
I would not mind. I would not mind going back and revisiting Nightmares.
Yeah, I think since we left two of our event slots empty, I could get down with some Nightmares.
Okay, that hits
I
the wall.
It always
and
has,
that hits the keep. And that hits, oh my god, I'm forgetting the other major one. Oh, Other People's Gaston. Other People's Gastons, but it doesn't hit Chamber and Chair.
It hits Gaston Gray, yeah.
Are we okay with that? Are we okay with just sort of
right.
eating the Dom matchup and hoping to... Okay. Quentin, I think we won at least one since we're running Great Halls. Rattle Shirts.
Yeah, since we committed Agreed. There, we might as well.
Rattle Shirt himself.
Yeah, I actually am
like
the opposite.
I
always
find
Hempound Rattle Shirt overrated. Thank God, actually. When I first saw this guy, I was like, oh my God. The Raiders, then. I don't care.
Yeah.
No.
We've got the Iron Bank yeah. for any for a pinch if we have a problem.
I think no.
With an attachment.
Sir Ares Oakheart, an old favorite.
No. He's just not what he used to be.
He isn't.
He's good with Ariane.
This one's less good.
But yeah.
If there's a target, that's always still the catch. You know, it's not like your opponent is just throwing a Varus on the table and letting him sit. Well, actually, he's not even an ally in this version.
It's true.
In second edition, so it doesn't even matter.
A lot of people are loving Jacken right now, though.
Is Varus not an ally?
It's a huge blow.
Huge.
He is not Lord Small Council
he
and Spy.
Is not.
Yeah, right.
I thought he was, but I went to go look real quick.
All right,
Lord Small Council and Spy.
Okay, so Noticer, Eris, huh. Sadly, Silent Sisters. I think great draft card, bad constructed card. Southron Messenger. This is a amazing card with Greg's location, but less good, I think. Yeah,
and
but
potentially good with Ariane as well, though. I mean, and I could certainly be convinced to try to find room.
I just think that since we're going fat on characters, it's tough to just a essentially five coster.
Mm-hmm. All right, and Spear Maiden.
One at that.
I think no. Starfall Cavalry.
No.
Yeah.
Sadly,
I'm always sorely tempted to buy a couple copies of this, especially if. Yeah, that's a good point. But it's a nice late game draw, and if we're not using schemes due to the faction, Neil.
But if we're depending on the cards in the used pile, do we prefer to have this to get draw for six cost, or would we rather have the other one that gives you the renown?
Or we could look at draw through plots.
I don't know. I think two, yeah, for Starfall Cavalry. But, I mean, we are currently at exactly 60 cards, 31 characters. So, spots are getting tough. I mean, I personally think at this point we go through and just cut the Sunspear. So I'll go and do that right now. So that puts us at 59 cards. Yeah. This leaves us with three spots. Which I actually think isn't bad, but... Oh, no. I'm a blasphemer, so Will, but I'm not 62? That much of a blasphemer. I counted 59.
You said three spots.
I didn't count the 59 cards. So 59. Card 60, card 61, sorry. So two cards. Yeah. Still have no Tain. We haven't got
Tain, right?
So if we throw two Starfall Cavalrys, that's basically the last two cards in the deck, short of making more cuts, which we could do, but we were talking about Nightmares.
Yeah.
we're so
tight. I mean, you know, I kind of suggested the Palace Spearman to kind of round out some icons, but if we're tight on slots for stuff that could maybe compensate
so drop the
for
Palace
that. Otherwise, I could definitely see dropping the Spearman.
So we're cutting four costers and adding six costers that are non-unique that we can't reduce with Great Halls. I could cut a Spearman for a Tyene. I could definitely do that. Because I can reduce her, and she's more impactful, in my opinion, consistently.
Well, and if we're going down to just one Spearman...
You might as well cut him.
And we're trading on it. Yeah, we might as well cut it.
The problem that we're staring at here is our low end is terrible. We have two Bastard Daughters, three Desert Scavengers... Yep. Two Dane Knights, three Traitors.
Two Dane Knights?
That's it.
Three Traitors.
I think maybe we go up to the three.
So three Bastard Daughters and three Dane Knights without cutting the Palace Spearman puts us at 61. All right, so pull the Spearman.
I think we cut the
Spearman. Then again, that puts us then... Where's Palace
Spearman? Yeah.
Like back at 59 cards, which opens up two spots for the S's and lower.
I
don't have Tyene because I hadn't... we hadn't confirmed that
Tyene
was going in.
You have Tyene in yours, Roy? Okay.
All right, so that means we have one card slot short of going back in and revisiting our event package and our location package, which I think I don't see. I don't see anything going out of the location package.
I'm actually pretty happy with them, unless
we could go to two Viper Eyes to open up a character spot. We could go to two Vengeances, which I don't like, but
yeah,
we could all.
Or two Viper Eyes to drop in two Nightmares. Sorry, go down to two Viper Eyes.
All right, so we're saying
two Nightmares.
Then top this deck off with two Nightmares and only two his Viper Eyes. So that puts us at 11 events, two his Viper Eyes, two Nightmares, two Tears, two Ryan Jones, and three Vengeance for Elia.
Yep.
That's good. And that's that's, like I talked about, I mean, that's some event variety. There is a lot of events there for them to worry about. You're still going to throw a bunch of stuff at them.
So, let me type in, name this white book. So there's a couple things. Where do we think that this deck is strong? Will, where do you think this deck is strong? Oh, we haven't even done plots, though, so we should not even... say that quite yet. So plots.
You know,
we should hit the plots first.
We have not. So should we hit the plots first? All right. Are we wanting to hit main deck plots or schemes?
Well, we definitely need counting coppers.
Work our way through.
We could even make a case for two counting coppers.
Okay.
But we need at least one.
I'd like to start with one. Right.
How much is Daryl paying you to say that, Roy?
Oh, yeah, that's definitely going in.
And we had earlier discussed wheels within wheels as a given, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Well, let's talk about it. Well, the point is to help a new player.
Well, County Coppers is going in because we have, besides the Desert Scout, or not, the Green Blood Trader, we only have, that's the only draw we have in the deck. And Doran. One Doran.
Doran.
He has his.
So we need that counting there. And then Wheels Within Wheels, we talked about a little bit before, but it's a scheme, so it's something we can flip into and we can get an on demand event. And we have some amazing events, game swinging events, that we can pull. All right.
Mm-hmm. And I feel better including. Just the
I think
two acts of
we also need another standard Reigns plot of power behind the throne, so we can get that stand and action economy. Oh yeah, same with.
Well, and I think hand with that goes the filthy, right?
Filthy accusations, yeah. But both of those work just to keep going there. Like Kyle had said before, power behind the throne is a great potential way to get two uses out of Jacken in a turn, and potentially two kills.
Or Red Viper.
Or Filth. Yeah, or a couple challenges with the Viper. Filthy does similar work by getting a Defender out of the way, which maybe opens you up for a kill there.
Varus is Riddle.
Or pushing
For copying your opponent's good when revealed. And to draw cards, so... From copying people's counting coppers, which is sort of the standard. How often did you do that at Gen Con in your Reigns deck, Kyle? Copy people's counting coppers with your Varus's Riddle.
Do what? Oh yeah, that kind of stuff. I copied a March. I copied.
I copied counting coppers in almost every game, except for my one Swiss loss. So it was good. So Varus's Riddle, the ability to flip and particularly again, since we don't have a lot of draw, the ability to steal that draw, even stealing someone's close call to get a single card can be really good. So.
Since we're right next to it. By Varus's Riddle, should we get
that's
Valor?
That's interesting. Cases for or against Valor. Tommy, what's the case for it?
I don't play Game of Thrones
Will?
Without it.
I'm a little torn. I feel like we have a pretty good resource base to be able to play stuff there on our Valor turn, but as we said, we don't have a particularly strong draw engine, which worries me a little bit in regards to that, and Valor's initiative is zero, which is going to hamper our ability to effectively use the Dornish fiefdom that turn, since the opponent will almost certainly win initiative and then force us to go first.
We are playing Ryan Jones's event, though.
Also true. Also true. That gives us some ability to return stuff to hand, to dodge our own Viper. For the listeners, there's no way to carry that gold over into the next turn to use it.
Yes, there is.
Since you can't.
Yes, there is one we haven't even considered.
But it gives us some options. Oh, you're right. I'm not used to playing Martell. So, they have a plot.
So why don't we say yes to Valor? Mm-hmm. I mean, why not?
Mm-hmm.
I think we do need the board control here that it offers. I think board states can get really out of hand for us if we don't have that Valor.
Yeah.
Especially since we're not playing tons of negative attachments and other control stuff.
So if we're doing that, and we already have a counting coppers in, that probably means we want the long plan, right? That would be our last scheme, though.
I am so scared it's a scheme in this.
I'm actually kind of sad that it is a scheme.
I are we missing it?
Yes,
we are. I would rather it not be. Potentially Wildfire Assault, but we might be fine.
Oh yeah,
with
Varus.
With Valor Margolis in the plot deck.
We're running three attainted.
Are we running any negative attachments?
Attainted.
So that means no.
I could
long
see a case for Wildfire.
Oh, we gotta keep Filthy.
Or something else like Filthy.
Yeah, you gotta keep it. I don't want to cut any of our
like all schemes. The schemes or just the schemes that we
so
have.
So let's go over the schemes one more time.
Filthy accusations, power behind the throne.
No, that we have.
Long plan. Varus's riddle.
Kneel and stand.
And wheels within wheels.
So what's the thought on long plan if we're going second?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, how much juice are you really getting out of it?
We'll have already, by the time we attack and hopefully trigger our Reigns agenda on our attack, we'll have already passed through their attacks and have missed a bunch of opportunities.
All right. Yeah, why don't we do that then? We'll cut long plan and we'll slide in Wildfire Assault.
Because that's also good, because if you're like, Valor seems extreme, but I need to pare down this board, or if you're playing like Greyjoy or someone with some kind of saves out there, it gives you another way to get things back in control.
So the only core draw deck plots that we have so far are Valor and Counting. So we have five more. We need gold. So current classic openers, right, are
gold.
Late Summer Feast. Did you run Late Summer Feast in your Reigns deck, Kyle? What did you use as your big gold plot in Lanny Reigns? Did you use?
I don't know.
All right. So, do we want
Summer Harvest and trading?
Yeah, I'm not a big Summer Harvest guy. I'm more of a Time of Plenty guy. I like the consistent six gold without having to worry about shenanigans if someone opens Varus's Riddle. Oh yeah. And it's an extra card.
Can people still do that?
That little bit of extra draw for us, I think, is good.
I think we're going to need some spots, but at least one.
I'm half tempted to say two times plenty.
Yeah, I think one.
Okay, so we've got Time of Plenty now. We need probably at least one more big gold plot. Do we want trading in this deck? I don't think, unlike Lannister, or which can punish people really for overextending, or Night's Watch or Tyrell that doesn't really care Well, Tyrell can also punish, and Night's Watch doesn't give a shit about what you do as long as it can trigger the wall with time. Is trading good in this deck?
We have two resets. I mean,
I've been seeing Naval Superiority come back into favor down here, which has really scared me off of opening Kingdom Plot.
So is that why you were for the two?
That's halfway why I'm for the two Time of Plenty. The extra card draw,
so,
I thought, was also worthwhile.
I just feel like six isn't enough.
Yeah. So here's my thing is I do like opening something like, so I never open trading at this point, because it's right. So crappily. I use it to refill after either I reset or my opponent resets, usually with trading. If we're going for a kingdom that's a pure opener and big gold, I would much rather see Late Summer Feast, particularly because we can flip out of Late Summer Feast. You know, we do our big entry challenge first. They only get one card versus other decks that have to give multiple cards off. But of course, the initiative is low on that. So,
mm-hmm.
Like, we don't really have any big initiative plots right now. We don't have Marched.
Yeah.
We don't have Retail, both of which could easily be slotted in here.
Marched needs to be.
Yeah, I think March
I figured we were going to.
All right, Marched.
Yeah, let's just do that now.
Marched okay, is in.
Marched. Are we throwing in a Retail?
I like Retail.
And I think it's very worthwhile to have another high initiative plot, considering we have those Dornish fiefdoms.
So, Retail. That gives us two more spots.
Still need something with higher gold.
I think I'm leaning more and more towards a trading.
I like it, but that's me.
All right, trading. I mean, I'm not opposed to trading, but I would never open it.
I would never open it either.
Unless you knew.
Money is our opening.
Unless you were, like, playing against Stark or something. Like, I mean, it's not. But, like, Filthy Accusations, but also give. I prefer to. What's weird for me is I would prefer to give cards on the first turn than gold. But later in the game, I'm much more skeptical, or I'm much less worried to giving my opponent gold than I am about giving them cards. So right. If we're looking for a mid-game big plot, trading is better than Late Summer. But if we want something that we can open with.
Perceive it. I don't know what you guys think about it, but it would always be open Time of Plenty and then reload with trading.
I'll open with trading, but I got them brass balls. No, I usually don't. That's what
the balls of the King of Swiss.
Man, that's why they're brass and not gold.
He's setting everybody up for Iowa Worlds, looking for that Naval Superiority turn one against Guile.
Yep, exactly.
Well, if the Wasa guys end up showing up, then you're almost guaranteed you're going to see Naval. All right. And
does that send us to our last plot choice? Because I think there's an okay argument for Naval for this deck, but I could also see Close Call or Confiscation in this last slot.
There's no argument for... Well, I'm sorry. There's no argument for Naval. Like, how do we afford anything with Naval? Like, I don't know. But, again, I'm bad at this game, so...
So, Kyle, what plot do I want?
I don't know.
Second March.
Yep, you got it, Will.
I'm not opposed.
Especially with the initiative, trying to go second. I mean, that's just devastating.
Here's the thing I would look at, though. I do like the initiative and everything, but if we're running two Marched, I think it is a crime if we don't go back and fit two Flea Bottoms in the deck.
Yeah, I think also we're really top-heavy for a Martell deck.
Yeah,
And we're light on the Chuds, so I worry that we won't... We could easily survive, like... We could easily punish somebody who has a bad setup or flip the initiative on turn two or three with a Marched if we can put some pressure on with a Vengeance or put some pressure on with a Tears. But I don't think we're in a Chud situation that if we're in an even playing field, that second March may end up to come to bite us in the ass. because we just don't have the deep bet.
Okay, so then what do you feel about a second retaliation?
I'm much more that, because I'd rather have the lower reserve than the character off the board.
So that's one option. And then here's the other thought is, since we just said that we feel like we're top heavy, do we look at first snow?
I did think about first snow.
Yeah, I was
thinking about lords and ladies. Is noble cause worth considering as a...
How many lords and ladies do we have? We have 3 red vipers, 1 Quentin,
1 Doran,
1 Marcella, 1 Littlefinger. Cedric, yeah, noble cause, but it's so low initiative.
Yeah,
though.
I don't know if I want to see initiative.
If you want another like mid-range income plot, I think calling the banners is way better for us.
Calling's initiative.
That's tough with 2 resets. Well, I guess we have 1.5 resets.
Yeah, but also
you don't
like
half the wild.
Well, yeah, but I mean, it only needs to. I mean, I guess to be exactly even with noble, it would need 4 gold. Right, your opponent would have to have 4 characters. But that's assuming that you have a noble in your hand for noble cause, or sorry, a lord or lady, that is. I think betting on 3 is still equivalent because you're getting the reserve and you're not tied into a specific subset of characters in your own hand. I don't know.
I don't know.
I don't know. Part of me is kind of in love with that second retaliation after Tommy brought it up.
Yeah, then, second retail. I mean, second retail, no one expects it, the second retail. Like,
exactly.
They just are like,
no one does it. 2 claim plots is so brutal in second hand.
And with being able to pound initiative like that, you can empty hand.
Yeah, you can empty the hand, and you can empty your hand, right, with the Dornish fiefdoms. Like and the thing about retail is it can punish people even when you have a small to mediocre board, right? Just forcing them to have to block a desert scavenger power challenge or a green blood trader intrigue challenge can really fuck up their turn in this sort of like small board character light meta that is being pushed by the Last of Giants Varus stuff.
If you hit their incoming military with a vengeance for Alia and then can swing back with your own military.
It's another wipe.
Yeah, that's effective.
Into March,
close enough.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the ability to go, like, turn 2 retail into turn 3 marched into turn 4 retail, this is what I found playing Martell recently. Very few decks can survive that. Like, they're just like, that's just brutal. Even if you're only getting 1-2 claim, they have to block everything, and you're only able to get 1-2 claim challenge off, that is still really brutal, because that could be on the intrigue and then they have no hand and then you can valor. It could be on the military and their board is clear, or it could be on the power and you're just able to just keep the pressure that they can't get to their win condition.
Yeah, and even Greyjoy is going to burn through their saves when you offensively valor like that, and then you'll be able to march them.
So are we in agreement then?
And we can flip out of the 4 reserve. That's the key thing, right? You can do the intrigue challenge last if you don't need to get 2 cards out of their hand.
Yep.
And flip into something that can be useful.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Or if you only need the 2 claims, say, on the military to thin out the board to get your range trigger off, you know, just the getting 8 initiative and 2 claim on 1-2 challenges and then flipping out of it with reins is really powerful. And then the negative reserve never hurts you.
Well, especially if you're flipping into like wheels and then tearsing them, it's in effect a 3 claim military at that.
Right, or flipping into, you know, you do military challenge first, then you flip into power behind the throne and get 2 challenges off with 1 character, like a Doran or a Red Viper.
Absolutely,
is just powerful. So yeah, I like the double retail. I like pressure. Like pressure for Martell, I think, is if you're not going the stall route, pressure is where you've got to be.
And actually, you know, with the plot deck that we've selected, it kind of makes it feel like a decent balance between some control with our locations and events, and then a lot of pressure with the plots.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I think this is a pretty good example of a mid-rangey Martell pressure deck. Like, it's not a blowout deck, but it's a you need to be able to answer it every turn, or it's going to run away with the game. Like, it can get you to zero, but it's not going to get you. It's not an auto get you to zero kind of deck. It's kind of a every turn you've got to have the answers to my pressure. If you don't, then you will go to zero. If you do, then we're going to have a game.
Yeah, I think that's a pretty good assessment. Yeah. I like it.
Yeah. This is an honest Martell deck, unlike those dishonest Martell decks that win Gen Con.
Yeah, until you wheels within wheels into the vengeance.
Yeah.
People will be saying that you're not too honest.
He wheels into tears, and then they're like, that's the table flip.
All right. I'm pretty happy with it. I think we did well, guys.
I played this at a game night kit.
Yeah.
Not willing to go Iowa Worlds.
It might be Iowa Worlds for me with some tweaks. I got to be honest with you.
Yeah, it's a fun deck. I mean, I may play Martell something. I was thinking of playing Martell mid-range if I make it out there. So this is definitely on the option list. So, although I kind of want to play an abuse-free bottom deck. But.
Also a fun idea.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Idea. Yeah. No. Not a... it's a reality. But anyway, different episode.
Well, and fun depends on who's talking. But maybe that sends us on to the final segment of our show this week, Props and Slops. Well, I'm gonna go ahead and jump out there. I'm gonna throw something out there that is decidedly not a prop or a slop. It is decidedly a meh, which I think we've used that rating once or twice before. And that's going to be to Marvel's Inhumans. Hmm. Crystal and I went and watched it in the IMAX. And it was, on the one hand, not nearly as bad as I was led to believe. On the other hand, not nearly as good as it should have been to be in an IMAX. So, we'll see. It very much felt like it was just the intro. It was effectively the first two movies that they did together as... this weird, the first two episodes that they did together is this weird IMAX movie thing, and it's just kind of the prologue. It just sets everything up for the rest of the series and really leaves you hanging. But the effects and some of the shots and stuff were good. They could have stood higher, maybe a little higher quality dialogue writers, but oh well. There you go. That's mine.
Tommy. Kyle?
I'm going to slop how bad this draft is going for me. Oh, this is brutal.
You don't even have a single kicker still, I bet.
I have no
tight ends, and it's just the saddest thing for Kyle.
All running backs all the time.
It is. I currently have one wide receiver who can play week one.
Kyle's bareback team there is just not doing it for him. Tommy, do you have a prop?
I've got a slop. I guess I'm watching commercials this week. I saw that they have remade a movie that I didn't even know existed, but I found out about it from my wife. Apparently there was a movie called Flatliners. And they remade it. So Hollywood is now remaking Billy Baldwin movies. Good job.
Wow.
Good job.
That's not even Alec Baldwin. That's Billy Baldwin.
Billy.
Man.
7 degrees of Kevin Bacon for you right there. Billy Baldwin.
Baldwin Brothers.
Can you name another Billy Baldwin?
I feel like I should.
Stephen Baldwin, though, is the worst.
Damned
Baldwin,
if I can so. Right now. I literally don't even remember who Steve involved.
They're all Baldwins, and that's the problem. So,
well, slaps the whoa, that, Alex,
that's
okay.
The problem.
Here you go, Will. I put it in
all
that.
All right. Well,
yeah,
Joey,
I have
yourself?
A prop to The Good Place, which Ala and I watched a lot of this afternoon.
Oh, yes.
Probably like 7 episodes, Ala? 10 episodes. Sort of right after we got off to work. We just sort of started binge watching it, and it was really cute and adorable and funny. So exactly what we both needed today. So it was a good one.
Yeah. I forget. Roy. Are
like
you
I'm
a
Douglas
Adams,
Adams person. Like I liked the first two books of what's that? Oh my god. Hitchhiker's Guide
okay.
to the Galaxy.
I mean, that's
I did not
like
the latter ones very much. So,
they get a little forced, though. There were certainly funny scenes in all of them that I liked. But I was just going to comment that The Good Place felt very much in that vein of humor to me. It felt very Adam.
Yeah, I can see that.
Well, also speaking of humor, I'm going to throw out a little bit of props to my newest source of faux intel, if you will, Patriot Hole. It suddenly foisted itself upon me on Facebook today, and it is filling the Colbert Report-sized hole in my heart at the moment. So congrats to that.
I want to slop. Working really, really, really hard because we're rebooting the school that I work at from the ground up, and it is a lot of work every day, like nonstop from the moment that I my feet leave the elevator to the moment that they get back on the elevator to go home. Sometimes well after my pay is supposed to be turned off, so that's not fun. So. Slop to working really, really, really exhaustingly hard. I mean, capitalism, man.
Yeah,
I
just don't like working.
Yeah, who does?
Capitalism. Oh,
just
I'm
without
all
the
about,
work, right?
All
so,
about
so you just were born
yeah,
in the wrong class,
work,
Kyle. You should have been born to the like luxuriously rich, the leisure class, like
leisure,
Vanderbilt,
leisure class.
Kyle Vanderbilt.
We also could have just been born in Europe where they go on vacation.
That would be sweet. That does sound nice.
That sounds nice.
Yeah, that sounds good. Mm-hmm. Conveniently also when Gen Con is. So.
And Gamescom, if we were actually living in Europe, that's probably where we would go instead. But
okay, that's fair.
I'll throw one more prop. I started reading... several years ago, based on Kyle and Will's recommendations, Dresden Files, and I have just been really digging the hell out of it lately. I'm all the way up.
Which one's book 9?
Now, and I'm gonna run.
Let's see.
White Knight.
Oh God! The one right before changes was not my favorite.
I think I have White Knight and then Turncloak. And
wait,
then
no, I thought Changes. It's hard to to talk about them without. Spoilers. I thought Changes was before White Knight, right?
Yes.
I know the chronology together. Of like what happens to Dresden, but I don't remember like in which book each thing happens. Although, but I do remember the book right before Changes being a little underwhelming, and then of course Changes being like what batshit nuts.
Changes is 12.
Oh, Turncoat. Oh yeah, Turncoat.
Before Changes is Turncoat, then Small Favor, then White Knight. Proven Guilty, Deadbeat. Where? Which one did you say you were on?
So then you're after White Changes, Night. Then.
Okay, before. You're on White Knight.
No.
Oh, okay, okay.
No. It's before.
So
I was reading backwards.
So he is working. Wait.
Scott. I have Turncloak and then Small Favor. And then Changes, right?
All right, hold on.
Small Favor, then Turncoat, then Changes.
All right.
If you're reading in order. Yep.
Dresden.
Perfect. Yeah. fired up. I'm enjoying it.
I mean, I know that's.
I don't know if I can say. I don't know if I.
Yeah.
Oh, because Kyle has.
Please, no spoilers.
Okay. Never mind.
I'm on book like 3 or 4.
Yeah, I mean, well, the real question is the spoilers. He's kind of pulled a Martin recently, which is Butcher was capable of producing about 2 books a year, and we still have no idea when the next one will be coming out.
Yeah, I didn't realize it had been since 2014 until I looked at this list.
Well, he's got 4 more books before I start getting mad. So
yes,
because I know when I finish those.
Yes, Skinday was the last one.
Oh, you've got more than.
And then the sequel's like Peace Wars or something. Yeah. Okay. But yeah, I mean, I really enjoy the Dresden books. They're definitely they wax and wane a little bit, but it's usually a relatively consistently enjoyable experience. So, and I've read so many of them at this point. There's, it's hard to keep. It's the highs are more memorable than the lows. So, at this point.
Yep, and being from Chicago, it just gives you a little extra fun when you references certain places and things. So.
Yeah. I mean, when I read whichever one that was it Grave Peril? Like, I literally had no idea what Sue looked like. You know? But now I do.
You've drank Sue.
That is true.
It's a dinosaur.
Yeah. She's a Tyrannosaurus Rex.
All right. Oh, okay. It all makes sense now to me. It's all coming back to me.
She's a big girl.
Yeah. Is she a danger zone level girl?
I also think I named the wrong book, but.
Oh, yeah. Had a danger zone.
If you were staring down, Sue, you would definitely be in the danger zone.
I'm just, you know, Will.
Dang
I always
it,
just
I had
go
one
for
last
the danger
prop.
Zone.
I needed
like,
to.
That's really these days just the warning that someone needs to come up with one last prop, so.
Well, I had some that it's actually two. They're both Kickstarter related. I wanted to throw a little love out there to some folks. One is to the Doomtown Reloaded
reboot,
so to speak. It's actually just a continuation actually, but it changed hands after AEG decided to shut it down. They're picking up where it left off. One of the guys involved in Pinebox Entertainment that's doing that. Is a buddy of mine here in town, actually used to be a Thrones player even. So wanted to give some love to them. The last I looked, they were 2 days in, and that's like 75,000.
Well, the AEG cards will still be legal under their...
Yep.
Yes.
You can, for $250, you can buy whole lot of it, which is pretty good if you don't have any of the expansions. So.
Yeah.
Yeah, it really is.
Yeah. And it came with like their new carry, like travel, not travel, but their like storage and organization.
Yeah, that is the nicest part of that.
Extras and stuff. It was definitely tempting. The other Kickstarter prop is to a little game called Sick. That's slightly inappropriate cards for kids. I know there should maybe be an F there. You could argue, but whatever. It's basically a. It's like Cards Against Humanity with like more poop jokes and no racism.
That's the poop jokes, but the no racism.
Yeah. So, yeah. You know, sometimes folks want to have some drinks or hang out, whatever, and play just a super easy to teach little zany game like that kind of pushes some boundaries, but without being just an asshole. So this leans harder in the ludicrous direction and not the, wow, I feel like I am a bad person for even reading this card. Not even out loud, just reading it to myself silently.
I don't know what you mean, Will.
Yeah.
I don't follow.
Well, some folks have no shame.
Shameless Iowa, chiming in.
Yep.
Is that your team name?
Aw, shucks. Kyle is just
shameless,
he has no shame. So Will talking about Kickstarters did remind me of one more thing I want to prop. Over the weekend, I was able to play Life is Strange Before the Storm, Episode 1. which was good. It's super weird that none of the voice actors came back because they're on a strike. So the voice actors union is on strike. So all of the original voice actors are not back. The woman that they got to voice Chloe is, it takes some getting used to, but after about like 15 minutes in the episode, you're like, okay, she's pretty talented. The other people, not so much, but
if she's
the character's still the same though. Like the way she acts is still the same. Yeah, the voice.
Well, but I mean,
the character's tone is still very much the same. It's very, very, very enjoyable, though. Particularly if you're a big Life is Strange fan, which I think I've said in previous episodes, I very much am. It's probably my favorite game of 2015. Is that when it finished? I think 2015, 2016. And it's a really good sequel. It feeds in really well to the original storyline, supplements it. If you like Twin Peaks, it's actually even more Twin Peaks-y than the original Life is Strange, so yeah. Or if you like those kind of like dead girl mystery kind of stuff, this one is, it's kind of like that.
Why is it always the girl that's dead?
There's been many a dissertation written about that subject, Kyle. I think it's out of our the remit here on the white book.
Well,
because there's a dead guy, nobody cares.
Well, and there's papers written about that too. Just considerably less.
All I'm learning is there's a lot of papers.
But yeah, it's very enjoyable. So if you like Life is Strange, don't play it. If you have not played the original Life is Strange, play that first. But if you enjoyed the first one, so Will, I would definitely recommend it to you because I know you liked it too.
Yeah, I loved it. Though it's gonna feel weird to me not having Sam. Right? Am I remembering her name?
She was
right?
One of the writers of the new game. Yeah, so they couldn't get her voice acting back, so they brought her in to do the dialogue for her character, like to write it. So
that's cool.
Yep.
Well then, I guess they narrowly. Well, they definitely closed the danger zone.
A chapter. Right? No.
Ooh.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yes.
That was good.
The problem is the chapter was already closed. Then they reopened the chapter before that.
It's a choose-your-own-adventure chapter closer.